Okay. But let's, it depends. What does it depend on, young lady? It depends on what you allow in. What you dress as. So like if you, okay, never mind. So if you dress as something like evil or demonic, then that's bad. Got it. Got it. Okay, just checking. Is anybody planning on dressing up as anything evil or demonic? Don't answer the question. Don't answer the question. Because I'll have to judge you. Okay, so let's talk real quick. Okay, so there's this verse in Romans, right? Romans, if you guys have it, go to put up there. In Romans 8, 15 and 16, right? Romans 14, 5 and 6. It says, you know, it talks about, doesn't specifically say the word Halloween because Halloween's not in the Bible, but it says now in the same way, some people think that one day is more holy than the other day, right? So that means some days are more holy than others, or you would even say some days are like evil, right? So because some people get freaked out about that kind of stuff, like pagan stuff or whatever. Now it says, now while others think every day is alike, you should be fully convinced that whatever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day, that they do it to honor him. So here's kind of the breakdown is in all my reading of the Bible, I found out that God made every day. Right? Like every day, like this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it, right? I mean, it even says shall in it. That's pretty important. So my thought is this, is about Halloween and in your conversations with people, if God made every day, then why would I give Satan any day? Right? Like, why are I going to give the devil a day? Like, what did he do to deserve it? Right? So Halloween is not evil, or it's not the devil's day. So Halloween is okay. But as our young scholars have so well put it, it's a matter of what you do with it, right? Like it says in Romans here, it says that some people regard some days as better or holier, better or closer to God than others. Okay, that's cool, that's fine. But what he says is, it's what you do with the day. It's that you wake up every day and say, today I'm going to live for Jesus. So Halloween, you wake up and you celebrate it as a day for Jesus. Like at church, we do like trunk or treat, the harvest. We celebrate the harvest instead of Halloween because Halloween is like people dress up as like zombies and blood and stuff, and that's like evil, wicked, nasty, and all that kind of jazz, right? Here's the thing, is Halloween, you guys know where Halloween came from, right? The Irish? Okay. It was originally, Halloween, it was All Hallows Eve, right? It was, and you know what the word hollow means? Not hollow. Ooh. Hollow, it means holy. If something's hallowed, it's holy. So it was a holy day, a holiday. Oh. So then originally it was a holy day, right? Because what they would do is they would celebrate all the people that went to heaven. Like people do that. Like if they have a loved one that passed away, you celebrate them. Maybe you remember their birthday. Maybe you remember anniversary. Maybe you go visit like the place where they were laid to rest, right? That's what people do when a loved one passes on, right? Right. Don't worry, we're getting to preaching soon. Don't worry. So that was a time where people would celebrate their loved ones that had gone on and gone to heaven. That's not evil. That's not wicked. That's just what they would do. And then all of a sudden, all the people started putting like ghosts, and it started getting all twisted, right? And it started getting all nasty. So as long as you have the right heart and spirit, you don't begin. Remember, we talked about celebrate death. You'll be cool. You'll be straight. Now, one of my favorite parts about October 31st. Yeah, okay, all of it. It is, of course, the free candy, because I like the sour, I like sour candy. But Reformation Day. Yeah, somebody say Reformation Day. Yeah. Now, we're not Lutheran, and if you don't know what that means, it don't matter. But October 31st is Reformation Day. Will you celebrate Martin Luther? No. That's the wrong Martin Luther. He's a very good Martin Luther. I like that Martin Luther, the white dude. Okay, so do you guys know who that dude is? Yeah, this is the other version of Martin Luther. This is the Martin Luther was named after, this Martin Luther. And he's obviously old and dead. This dude is dead a long time ago. But this dude changed the entire church, right? Like back then, there was a time where people would be like, oh, you want your family to get to heaven, then you got to pay money. And that was like, it was a bad time for the church, right? It was a bad time for the church. So this dude, on October 31st, he changed everything by going to this door and nailing this paper to this door, and that just jacked everything up in a good way. And that started a thing we call the Reformation. Everybody say, Reformation. That's right, right? It was the remix of the way they were doing church. And he basically started this huge change. And that's why we do church the way we do today. Wow, look at that. Pastor Richard, we had a church history lesson. Can you believe it? So, if you want to dress up like that dude, you're more than welcome to dress up like that dude. I know, right? Yeah, see, he made double chins cool before they were. Martin Luther's pretty tight, though. He's probably watching me from heaven and, like, thinking, just slapping his forehead right now. So I apologize, Martin Luther. Not that I talked to the dead or anything, but that's a different story. Anyway, that's October 31st, Reformation Day, so you're welcome to dress up like Martin Luther and knock on people's doors with a hammer and leave a piece of paper there, 95 Theses, Google it, and that'd be pretty tight. Anyway, so what's the bottom line? Is Halloween evil? Only if you make it evil. Only if you make it evil, right? So is Halloween evil? Okay. They're still not listening, Aspen. Only if you make it evil. So don't celebrate death. Celebrate life. Celebrate Jesus. And the Reformation. Because why? Because you don't got to give the devil any day of your life. Take it back. And that was the warm-up, Pastor Joe. This was the warm-up. This is now for the grand. Okay, now that you guys are all warmed up, let's get into the message. Shall we get into the Word tonight? All right, Brad, let's do this, man. All right, okay, so let's do this. Tales from the Other Side, week 3. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into the Word. So, Father God, we just thank you for this day. God, we thank you, Lord, for your living Word. God, I thank you, Father, that you have not just given us an old book with a bunch of stale stories, but, Father, you have given us your Word to change our life. So, God, I pray that the words would jump off the pages. God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak life to us so you could get life through us. God, that we can change the lives and the destinies of the people around us. Because, God, everybody in this room knows somebody that's hurting. And, God, everybody in this room, myself included, knows somebody that's having a hard time in life. So, Father, tonight, I pray that you would put within us your living strength that we can give it to those that are lost. God, I pray that tonight we would have an assignment to live life in such a way that it changes the way other people live life. God, we're here to have church in a church so we can leave and be the church. So, Father, empower us, enable us. Father God, I pray that you would enlist us to your calling so that we can do something to change the Inland Empire, Father God, so we can see it saved. So, Father, tonight, speak, because your servants, us, we are listening. We make ourselves available to you in Jesus' name. We all pray. And everybody says, Amen and Amen. All right, so Tales from the Other Side. So this is week 3. We've been talking about interacting and how you can hook your spirit up with the spirit of God instead of hooking your spirit up with the spirit of the world, right? Because life is more than just flesh and bone, right? And the problem is we grow up our whole life getting used to this world, right? I mean, you learn about science and math, and we learn about what to do with money, and you get in trouble if you don't do your chores or you don't feed the dog, and our whole life is centered around this world, the world we live in. But what happens is we never learn, a lot of times we never ever learn about the spiritual piece of our life. I mean, you could even go to church your whole life and still never learn how to interact with the spiritual piece of your life, right? Because we end up learning all the worldly things about church, like how to be successful and get good grades on tests and all that kind of stuff, but we never learn how to feed the spiritual part of us, right? It's kind of crazy to think about that, but we miss it sometimes. What does the Bible tell us? It says, don't walk by sight, walk by faith. We walk by faith, no, we don't walk by sight. We don't walk according to the way we see things in the world. We got to walk according to the ways that God speaks to us in our spirit, in our heart, in the deepest part of us, the part of you that makes you you, that part that lives forever, that part of you is the part that we need to be able to get close to God. Because it's that part, when our heart, when our spirit is close to God, then our spirit, the part of us that needs to be the strongest, is able to withstand the trials of life. So if you're having family trouble, if you want to run away, if you want to punch somebody, if you just are having hard times making friends, keeping friends, being a friend, all those worldly parts of our lives, which are not bad, all those parts of our lives have no power, strength, or joy in them. Why? Because on the inside, in our heart, we're empty. And if God can fill you up on the inside of you, then every part on the outside of you begins to get taken care of. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added to you. So if you deal with the inside you first, then God deals with the outside you. So if the outside of you is jacked up, maybe it's time that you take a look on the inside you and leave the outside you to God. Does that make sense? The Bible says if you build yourself up in faith, ooh, then God can make you strong enough to jump a wall, to overcome a troop of enemies. He makes you strong enough to be able to handle those parts of your life that you can't handle on your own. And that's what we're doing, talking about the other side, the tales from the other side, the stories and the things you need to know to get the other part of you, the spiritual part of you, hooked up with the spiritual with the spiritual things of God so you can be strong enough. See, it's funny because we were talking about this last past couple weeks, right? And the things that you experience are the things that you let into your life. Just like you guys were saying right here. You guys say if you make Halloween evil, then it becomes evil. The things that you open up and let into your life determine the things that you experience. So if you're filling your life up with garbage and junk, you know, demonic or just things that are stupid, then all of a sudden those are the things you experience in your life, right? What you let in is where you get led to. So you experience things in your life based on what you let into your life. And then we started talking about being afraid last week. Remember, we started talking about having these fears of failure and having fear of spiders. You know, and we started talking about all these different things that can catch us up in life. And a lot of times when we become afraid when we don't realize that you're a child of God. I mean, when you know that you who you are in Christ, then you have no reason to be afraid of anything, whether it's fear of failure, fear of rejection, whether it's maybe it's afraid of being alone or abandoned. Maybe it's afraid of not having a boyfriend because, you know, you get lonely sometimes. But all those fears get handled when you know who you are in Christ. So here's the bottom line is all these things get dealt with when you listen to the voice of God. Now, this is a hard thing. But it's crazy because God's always speaking to us. You see, and your spirit, the part of you that makes you you, your heart is always hearing things. So you need to be careful of who you're going to pay attention to, right? I mean, just like if you can hear, then every day you hear voices. You hear, well, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Okay, you hear sounds and noises every day, whether you're in the car, and we get so used to them, it's just white noise, right? I mean, like think about it. Next time you're in a car, start paying attention to the noises. Or have you ever been in a room so quiet that you hear yourself chew? Like, that's weird, right? Like you can feel, have you ever heard, like, your muscles contract? Have you ever heard it in your head? Or like your jaw pop or something like that? It's super weird when it's that quiet. But you are literally hearing things all the time. And some noises and some sounds and some some voices, you tune out. Some pitches, P-I-T-C-H's, a voice. So I want to make sure everybody's clear here. Some pitches of voice, you tune out. Like when an adult begins to say something in a certain tone, you're just like, boop. Or like if you have little brothers and sisters, like you try your best to tune out their crying in the middle of the night, right? Because all day, every day, you get inundated. You get flooded with noises and voices and people talking to you. And the worst is when you have two or three people trying to talk to you at the same time. It either sounds like womp, 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 or you just got to tune people out so you know who to listen to. And your spirit's the same way. every day, every moment, your spirit, the ears of your heart are being spoken to by different voice after different voice after different voice. It's the voice of yourself telling you you're not good enough. It's the voice maybe of somebody in the past that you are remembering time after time again saying you're not tall enough or pretty enough or skinny enough or you're not smart enough, you're not strong enough, you're not fast enough, you'll never make the team, you'll never do this or that. Those voices that speak to our heart. It's the voice of the world that wants us to go into certain levels and areas of temptation, right? Those thoughts that pull us, and your heart, your spirit is always hearing voices. But the challenge is this, is that we don't know how to tell the voice of God from the voice of this world. And it's crazy because Jeremiah 33:3 is God's phone number, man. Jeremiah 33:3 says, God says, call on me, and I'll answer you. I'll tell you things you did not know. I'll tell you the things that are coming in your life. If you're listening to God, you never have to be surprised. You never have to be surprised if you listen to God. It's what the Bible tells me right here. It says, if you call on me, I will answer you. And I will tell you things you didn't know. Hey, who wants to know what you don't know? Because if you knew it, you already don't need to know it because you already know it. But it's the stuff you don't know that you need to know. And God has all the answers to every question you have. That's what Jeremiah 33:3 says. And it's super easy to remember because it's Jeremiah 33:3. It's all threes. See, God wants to speak to you. The problem is we don't want to listen to him. See, here's the thing. If people get super bummed or people get super angry at God and they start doing stupid things like we start doing stupid things like blaming God. God, you can't be real. God, you don't hear my voice. But here's the problem is we're not very good at listening to God. So it's kind of silly to get mad at God when we're doing the exact same thing to him that we think he's doing to us. And sometimes people say, well, I just, Pastor Richard, I just don't know how God speaks to me. I don't know what it's like. I've never heard the voice of God before. But, you know, I've learned that you got to crawl before you walk, right? And you got to walk before you run. That's the way it goes, right? That's how things work. And it's the same thing with listening to the voice of God. If you're telling me right now, Pastor Richard, I've never heard the voice of God. You have. You just don't know it yet. You just don't know it. You can't. It's like three people talking to you at the same time. You don't know how to shut the other voices out and only hear his voice. You've heard God's voice before. I know that because you're in here today. I know that because if you call yourself a Christian, you've heard God's voice. Because nobody comes to God unless the Holy Spirit led you, right? So that means the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, you got your hand up, or you talked to God one day and God rescued you. So you've heard God's voice. You just don't know it yet. But you got to crawl before you walk. You got to walk before you run. So if you don't start off on the easy pieces, you'll never get to the hard places and listen to God's voice. See, there's sometimes it's easier to hear God's voices than others. Like that just kind of makes sense, right? If you've ever been to a concert and tried to talk to a friend, you know. There's times it's easier to listen to somebody than it's not. And it's the same thing with God. And if you don't learn how to listen to God's voice when it's easy, you'll never hear his voice when it's hard. Like right now, you're in church and someone's preaching the word to you. If you can't pay attention in church, my friend, you're not going to hear God's voice when you really need it. Like this is easy. Like if you've never heard God's voice, because you're not paying attention in church. This is easy. Like, chances are probably nobody's probably, like, bothering you that bad to where you can't hear my voice or pay attention. And the better you can listen to God's voice when it's easy, now you're training yourself to crawl, because this is crawling, that when you get in the real world and all of a sudden you're getting hammered by temptation, you can hear God's voice because you've already been through the crawling, so now you can walk away and know when God wants you to do something. Another thing, when your parents talk to you, God speaks to you through your parents. So, I realized that clap started in the back of the room. I recognize that and I appreciate it. So especially if you have saved or godly parents, if you don't listen to your parents, because you can usually discern, even when you get in trouble and stuff, that then it'll be hard when you're looking for his voice in a hard time. an authority figure that God's put in your life, whether maybe it's a youth leader, maybe when we get into our groups and maybe one of the leaders is giving you advice, hey, if you don't listen to it when it's easy, you won't hear God's voice when it's hard. When you're reading the Bible at home and you're falling asleep, you don't, that's easy because it's like, I know this is God's voice. That's easy. Like, if you want to know God's voice, then it's in black and white and sometimes red. This is easy. So when you find an issue and you have a friend that has a problem and they're ready to make a bad decision, go out with the wrong dude, or they're ready to just go off and make a bad decision, all of a sudden you know what to say to that person because you already know what God's voice sounds like when it's easy. So now you can listen to God's voice and give your friend the advice that they really need. When you're about ready to go off the handle and punch some dude in his teeth, now you can hear God's voice grabbing your fist and bringing it back in, and you can make the right decision. When you want to mouth off, you can hear God's voice telling you to lay off. Do you see what I'm saying? If you listen to God when his voice is easy to hear, then you'll hear God's voice when it's hard to hear. Because you learned how to crawl so you can walk. You learned how to walk so you can run. And now, the decisions you make will be easy. Why? Because you fed your spirit. You fed your spirit, the part of you that's really you, what it needs to hear God's voice on a regular basis. There's this crazy verse in John 10. In John 10, if you look, it says the people surrounded Jesus and they begin to ask Jesus, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? You see, the people weren't listening to Jesus when it was easy. It says, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? It says this here. It says, if you're the Messiah, then just tell us plainly. But see, they weren't listening because Jesus said, I'm the Messiah. And they still didn't hear it, right? Right? Like, how much more plainer do you want, right? You want me to, like, sharpie it on your forehead? Anyway, he says this. And so Jesus said, look, I already told you, but you don't believe me. Like, he just said, I am. Right? He's already told you, but you don't believe me. He says, the proof is in the work that I do in my Father's name. Like, dude, I just healed people and you don't believe it, right? He says, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. 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 I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. Why? Because my Father gave them to me and he's more powerful than anybody else. Ooh, glory. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. Why? Because the Father and I are one. Jesus is saying this. He says, guys, my sheep know my voice. If you belong to Jesus, then you know his voice. And if you're thinking, but Pastor Richard, I don't. Does that mean I'm not saved? Wait. Maybe you just don't know that you know his voice. You see, because God is always talking. God's always speaking. You and I, we just got to learn to listen to him. We just got to learn to listen to him. So do you listen to God? Do you listen to God? Do you listen to God? When it's worship up here and the band is pouring their heart out, do you listen to God? Because it's ripe. It's easy right there. Look, you're singing to God and God's singing right back to you. That's what the Bible says. God sings over you. You just got to learn to listen to his song. When you're depressed, know God's speaking and singing over you. Learn to listen to his slow jams, man. And you will begin to have your life changed. See, what happens is when we have a problem and God wants to speak the answer to us, we end up making noise, right? You start gossiping. We start talking smack about the problem, the person. We start complaining, and we start making too much noise that we can't hear God's voice. One of the best things you ever will ever learn to do as a Christian, that I had to learn how to do as a teenager, is get in your room, get alone, turn off your phone, and open up your Bible. Put on some music. Like godly music. Not like, never mind. Like you turn on some worship music, and then you begin to clear the air. Get quiet, and you can begin to hear God's voice. That will feed your soul. That will feed your spirit. Look, God's voice is never in a rush. God's never in a hurry. God's never confusing. And he's never rude. If you ever feel like somebody's rushing you, it ain't Jesus. It ain't Jesus. If you ever feel like you're being hurried, it ain't Jesus, okay? If it's ever rude, it ain't Jesus. Because God's voice doesn't sound like that. So if you ever feel pressured or emotional, like you want to make a decision when you're really sad, stop. Because it ain't Jesus. If you want to make a decision when you're really angry, stop. It ain't Jesus. Or if you're like, so overwhelmed, I'm so happy, stop. Stop. Some of the worst decisions people made is when they were super duper 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 happy or high. You know, Brother Berg, get an amen on that one, okay? Right, right? People make some stupid decisions when they are artificially elevated. You know what I'm saying? Just because it's natural, don't make it right, okay? And you don't believe me? I would encourage you to go smoke some poison ivy next week. Hey, tell me how that one works for you, because that's natural. You're coming, your lips are all like looking like a Kardashian. It ain't cute, and that's natural, okay? Well, poison ivy part, I don't know about the lips, but the Bible says that if you belong to Jesus, then you know his voice. So start listening to him, because you already know it. You already know it. You see, the devil, the enemy's only got one trick, and he has not changed his tricks. Look, he's so predictable, he's just going to lie to you. That's the only trick that the enemy has is deception, is to deceive you and try to trick you into thinking something's good when it's bad, right? Like all throughout the Bible, trust me, all throughout the Bible, there's the one thing that the enemy does to God's people is he tries to make them think good is bad and bad is good. That's how it works. Old Testament, New Testament, don't matter. The beginning to the end or any part in the middle, that's the enemy's job, is to make you think good is bad and bad is good. That's why people get jacked up. That's why people make bad decisions, right? Because they think good is bad and bad is good, right? That's why we have half the problems with the music we listen to some of these times, because, you know, you think it's good, but that's terrible. Like, some of these lyrics I hear, it's not even that they're, like, sinful. They're just poorly written. I've heard some stuff, I'm like, this is what's selling? This doesn't even make sense. That's not even poetic. I'm like, never mind. I don't even want to get into it, because I'm like thinking, how did this guy even stay in business? Who is, like, is he like paying people to buy his music? But that's not, but never mind. We don't even get in the state of hip-hop today. It's funny, in 2 Corinthians, go put 2 Corinthians up here. 2 Corinthians, it says, I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It's no wonder that his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Because in the end, they get punishment for their wicked deeds and service. You see, the enemy only has one trick, and that's to make good look evil. His number one tactic is to, go ahead and put it up there, is to look like something good. It's to disguise himself as an angel of light, right? Like in the beginning, what did he say? He said, oh, hey, if you eat this fruit, you're going to be smarter. You'll be taller. You'll run faster and jump higher, right? That's his one trick. If you do this one thing, then everything will be better. And the crazy thing is this, is that some of the worst ideas in the entire world had good intentions. Have you ever seen somebody do something and they meant well, but it was the wrong thing? Like World War II, that started with somebody who made a bad idea sound pretty good, right? Hitler made a bad idea sound really good. Hey, let's kill one type of person and eradicate them off the earth. And it sounds like a good idea. Sign me up! I don't know about that one, but millions of people bought it, right? Like somebody bought that. So many ideas start off like a good idea, like the dog bag. The dog bag sounded like a good idea. Like, hey, I want my dog to ride with me in a car. I got an idea. Let's put that dog in a bag and hang it on the door. That sounds like a real good idea. True story, the dog bag. Hole for the head. That's a bad idea. Or what about this? What about this? What about the car bar? Hey, people like to drink and people like to drive. Let's put them together. Let's put an alcoholic bar in the glove compartment. The car bar. And it rhymes. Sounds like a good idea, but that's a bad idea. Or how about some advertising campaigns? Like Starbucks had this advertising campaign where they put their logo and Starbucks on a van. But the problem was, it was a good idea that didn't work out very well, because when you open the door, Starbucks sucks. See, hey, that was well intentioned, but it's a bad idea, right? So what happens is people have these near-death experiences. People say an alien visited them, and they say, I know the answer to life because I have feel-good warm gooeys on the inside. And I know world peace and save the animals and the whales. And if we could all only get along, and an angel came and spoke this new religion to me, because this is the real religion. And it's funny, all these religions start with an angel. Come visit some dude at night. And the Bible says that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. I don't want to meddle or anything like that. But it's a lie. So the question is this, can you tell the difference between God's voice and the voice of all the nonsense that goes on in life? See, the devil could only get you to do wrong things if he makes it sound like it's a good thing. Seems like a good idea. But what did the Bible say right here in 2 Corinthians? It said, but you know how it turns out. It always turns out as death. And let me wrap this thing up right here, right now, so we can get into our groups. But you see, you know the difference because God's voice always speaks the truth about himself. There's this verse in 1 John 2. In 1 John 2, it talks about the Antichrist. And I don't know if it's a current or an upcoming president. I don't know. I'm not going to say if that's none of my business. And I don't want to get there because probably not. But what happens is an Antichrist is like antifreeze, right? Like, you know what antifreeze does in the car? It keeps the car from the stuff from freezing, right? It's anti-freeze. What antichrist is anti-Christ. See, I know this is super deep stuff. I can tell because you guys are all taking notes and writing this down right now. But if it speaks against who God is, then you know no matter how good it sounds, it's not true. Because God's never going to talk smack on himself. This verse says, go ahead and put it up in 1 John 2:20. It says, but look, you guys aren't like that. You guys aren't stupid like that. Why? Because the Holy One has given us his Spirit. And God's Spirit speaks to us, right? And you know the truth. So I'm writing to you not because you don't know the truth, because you've heard. If you're in this room, chances are you've heard God's voice. Whether you know it or not, you know the truth. Because you've responded to God. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. Not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between the truth and the lie. That good is good and bad is bad, and you don't get it twisted. Who's the liar? Who the liar? Who? Anybody that says Jesus ain't the Christ. Anybody that denies the Father and the Son is what? An antichrist. Why? Because he's against Jesus. Anybody that denies the Son doesn't have the Father, right? Either. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. That's the lie detector test. That's the lie detector test. If you ever get this question, is that God's voice? Or is that just me thinking stuff? Right? Is that Jesus? Or is that just my brain? Or is it the devil? Is the devil telling me to do this? Like, you know, come on, you know you've thought that before. Me or God or the devil? Which one is it? Which of the three? It's a multiple choice, so you have a 1 in 3 chance of getting it right, and a 2 in 3 chance of getting it wrong, unless you pass it through the lie detector test, and you get it right every time. You get it right every time. What's the lie detector test? Is it speaking poorly about who God is? That's how you know if it's true. No matter how good it sounds, if it puts Jesus down instead of lifting Jesus up, then you know it's a lie. If it puts Jesus down instead of lifting Jesus up, then you know it's a lie. That's the filter. Should I help this homeless person? Is it putting Jesus up or down? They have a knife. Okay, that's put Jesus down because it's going to kill you. That's a bad idea. Clowns, don't do it. Should I date this dude? Okay, if you're dating this dude, is it going to put Jesus up or is it going to put Jesus down in your life? Okay, lie detector test, right? I mean, what Jesus gave you two rules, loving God and loving people. If it violates those two rules, Lie detector test. Doesn't pass the test. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's how you know. Does it pass the lie detector test? Is it anti-Christ or is it pro-Christ? See. Okay, never mind. Okay, so here's what we got. Is God's always talking? Are you listening? Because he's always speaking. We just need to listen to him. And the enemy only has one trick to try to trick you to think you don't know or to trick you to think what he's saying is right. And God's voice will always speak about himself. So if you run it through the lie detector test, when you hear a voice, well, you know, when God speaks to your heart, you'll know who it is. Why? Because his sheep know his voice. You guys got something, God? Let's give him praise. All right, everybody stand up. We got three questions.